What's up, y'all, and welcome into the Jack Vita Show. I'm your host, as always, Jack Vita. We are back here for the latest exit interview with the most recent contestant eliminated from Deal or No Deal Island, episode 9. It is Mr. Nick Grasso. We will speak with him in a second. Before I bring him in, just want to make note that we've got a lot of Deal or No Deal Island coverage coming all week long. We have our recap episode with Brooke Struck, which is always a good time. Give you a little post-game recap of what happened, a little post-game show. And then later in the week, Miranda will be back with me for another edition of Deal or No Deal Island Insiders. And Amy will be joining us this week. So we'll get another Night Owls perspective. The Night Owls are not getting the most amount of love right now online. So be interesting to kind of hear a little bit of what she has to say. It'd be very interesting. So if you guys are not going to want to miss that. So make sure you guys are all subscribed to the Jack Vita Show here on YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications. I think only like 80% of our viewers are subscribed. So what are you doing? Hit subscribe. And you can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are found. At this time, I'd like to welcome the most recent contestant eliminated from Deal or No Deal Island, Big Wick Nick Grasso. Is it Grasso?
It's Grasso.
All right. I know my Italian last names.
You're good. You're getting there.
How's it going? How are you this morning?
Honestly, I'm very good. You know, I had a lot of emotion going leading up to the episode, the day of. You know, I wasn't myself. I was a little down on myself all day because I knew what to expect. But once the episode aired and everything unfolded, it was like a weight off my shoulders. And I honestly felt a sigh of relief that it was over. That because knowing the burden I had on me, people asking all that, but just knowing how I was nervous to see how it was going to be aired on TV, like how bad it was going to look, how it was going to look. I knew it was the end for me. So to have that finally finished and out in the open, I feel great now. You know, it was an experience of a lifetime and I wouldn't change a thing.
Why'd you take the deal?
So I took the deal. This is freaky. So I had a dream the night before of the number 6. The 6 was popping up. All, it was like the weirdest dream in my life. 666. I guess it was the devil. It had to be the devil altering my thoughts because the 9 is so near and dear to my heart for, you know, as it was for my fiance's brother who passed. So that was a very spiritual number for me. So I had the 9. It was always 9. Then the 6 was just popping up. So I ultimately left 6 and 9. And then the case, the 4.25 is what I grabbed in the water. So it was just like, oh, in my head, I'm like, oh, this makes sense. It has to be the case that I have. Like, it was just like a whole bunch of nonsensical math that I was doing that made no sense in real life. And ultimately, I chose my mind over my heart. And I got to stick with my decision. I made it. And I can't have any regrets because then I'll be miserable the rest of my life. So I'd rather not.
Any frustrations with maybe the format of the show? Because, you know, the question is, did you get a good deal or a bad deal? And I'd say like 4.417 million, the highest offer. That's a pretty good deal, right?
That's a pretty freaking good deal if you ask me. But yeah, it sucks, but it's a brand new show. You got to lose somehow. Someone got to win. Someone got to lose. So you can't go off of, oh, I made the highest deal. You know, it is what it is. And also the prizes increase as you play. So like that 4 million 5 weeks ago was only what, a million when you really, so it's just relative to the games and to the time as you're on the island. So, you know, you could fault the game. Nothing's perfect. You could fault anything in any way, but you're not going to win it all. And nothing is ever going to go completely according to plan. You know, there's always going to be a little something.
After watching Miranda and Dawson, was there any bit of like, hey, where's my personal offer?
Oh, man. I was like, come on. Just throw me a little something. Even like afterwards, I'm like, yeah, anything? Is there something on the side for giving you a nice little 4-point-something million? But, you know, like I was happy the way I went out. it wasn't like a, here's the money and see ya, you know? So you could always think it's two ways. Dawson got 100 grand. I would not be upset with that. But the fact that I wasn't just like shushed off the show because I accepted a personal offer and I was able to decide for myself and not let the banker decide my destiny, I wouldn't change a thing for the world.
So the one question I'm sure you're getting asked a bunch today is, had you won, were you in fact taking out Rob?
Yes, I was always going to take out Rob. It just made sense for my game. Rob was my biggest competitor there. He was my biggest threat physically, mentally. He was always just going to be the one in the way of me winning it. Because, like, no offense to the rest of the cast that was left, I didn't think of any of them as a threat. You know, and so once I, no matter what happened, like that's why when I saw Steph lie to me in the water about, oh, Rob said your name but didn't say my name, that was just unnecessary because it would change nothing. Now looking back at it, now it's like, oh man, like it just looks bad for the alliance. It kind of looks bad for Steph. It looks bad for me, which was never, it never was needed because it was always just going to be Rob just on gameplay alone. That would be dumb to not take out Rob, the biggest, you know, the biggest weight target in my way. Why would I? And obviously, if he was in the other foot, the shoe was on the other foot, I would expect him to take me out. Because why not? Why would you leave me up against you in the finals, and vice versa? So, there was no doubt about it.
So your read on the situation was, Rob, if he had control, he would have taken you out, but he did not tell that to Stephanie, and Stephanie made up that part.
Yes. Listen, this is a game. This is reality TV, you know, and Rob knows what to do. He knows, even if it wasn't said, like if he never said it, he never did, you know, apparently. So you really can't blame Steph for trying to put that in my ear, but it wasn't necessary because I would, like, I literally was going to do the same thing that I assumed he would have done to me. So I would be hypocritical to say otherwise.
All right. So yeah, I think that you were really starting to emerge here as the biggest threat to Rob's game. As you won the last two immunities, one of those you did win with him, but then last week you won it without Rob. Yeah. And my question to you, as we sort of speculated last week, I asked Dawson and Miranda this, was there a part of you, and I know it can be easy for you to say revisionist history and say whatever, but I was curious, did you at all in the early stage of the game not go your full hardest in the challenges to try to downplay maybe some of the fact that, one, you don't have to put blood on your hands by making a big decision early on, and two, not be perceived as quite as a threat? And then did you turn it on later in the season? Is that what happened?
I mean, honestly, in the beginning, I wanted to win every challenge. Then I realized it wasn't really in my hands. A lot of these challenges were based on, like, blind luck. I'm throwing a bag from a tree. You know, like, I picked the wrong path down a mud pit. So I'm trying to win it all. It's just not falling into my hands. So I can't say that I didn't want to win every challenge, but then you start to realize once you're in the position of power, it's not necessarily the best for you because, like you said, when I won the immunity and the ability to choose who was going to play the banker, it put a lot of heat on me. Rob told Aaron to speak to me. He didn't want to speak to me. I chose Dawson. I did a little, you know, I rigmarole. Ah, Dawson deserves to play. He didn't play. But Rob's not dumb, and he knows where the game was going and that I was actually a bigger threat than I guess it was perceived in the beginning of the show.
You mentioned Aaron didn't want to talk to you. Could you read that when he was making that? Was it like a half-hearted pitch kind of thing?
Yeah, he like came up to me, was like, and I was like, well, listen, the decision's already made. He's like, nah, you know, like he seemed like defeated at that point. But he came to me. I know he didn't want to. It's tough. Listen, we're in a rough environment. You know, everybody's out of the element. So I get it. So, but I think he knew it was inevitable at that point.
Was there anything from last night's episode that you saw on the air that surprised you or did not make the air that you were surprised? Oh, I thought that we would have seen that because that would maybe add a little more context to the story.
Probably the dream portion of why I picked six instead of nine, you know, because that's why I picked six instead of nine. I had the freaking dream. Apparently I thought I was a gypsy or a fortune teller or something, which I'm apparently not. So that, and also when, and the little lie that Steph told, like I said before, it wasn't necessary. It was just a little extra for nothing moment that caused a little rift for the people watching. Now, what is going on? Why'd you trust Steph? You shouldn't have trust Steph. It's my decision was made up already, whether she told me that or not. It was just that's what a little surprised me. I'm like, God, you didn't have to lie to me, you know, but it's game.
We get the scene where the night owls are sitting around and you guys are talking about Rob and Aaron, and Jordan frames it as like, you guys are talking about them nonstop. What'd you think of that reaction that she had?
I want to say I didn't agree with how she perceived it, how she displayed it. And listen, everybody has their own ways about themselves. We were just having fun. We're just sitting there. We have no TV. We have no phones. We have nothing else but what is in front of us. What just happened? What's going to happen? And everything in between. So we're just joking on a bench in the middle of an island with nothing else to do. With the fact that we were perceived as bullies and mean people, I don't agree with that at all. I don't know where people grew up and all that's perceived as bullying. We're just joking about whatever. But listen, everybody is entitled to their own opinion. But the fact that everything that she said, that we were 90% catty, I disagree with that. But like I said, everybody has a different notion of their own thing. So I disagree, but that's her opinion and it is what it is. Now everybody in America thinks we're bullies 90% of the way.
Gotta own it and wear the villain hat. Now,
I did say I was gonna give Aaron a wedgie in like episode four, so that's like old school bullying. So maybe they're right. Maybe they're right.
Oh, that's funny. The show made it seem that you were in with the Rob Mob early on. You guys seemed like you guys were pretty close, and then midway through the season, it seemed like you had a change of heart and you said, "I've been left out. I'm upset about this." And the Night Owls were formed. Is that how everything played out?
Was there
a turning point for you, something in particular?
So honestly, the main turning point, I keep thinking back, and then I remember the turning point was when Aaron did Miranda dirty, because it was me, Miranda, and Amy in the tent together. And once he basically decided to put her up against a banker and do this whole thing against Steph now, I was cool with Steph, I was cool with Miranda, and I wasn't informed of any of this. So automatically I'm like, oh, Rob has to be a part of this. Aaron obviously is a part of this. And I knew Alyssa, where Alyssa stood, which was not with us, with me, you know. So that was the turning point. They sent Miranda home and it was just like a big hit, like emotionally, because me and Miranda and Amy, we were very close with each other. We called ourselves, you know, Three's Company. It was like, you know, living together, and we had a great time together. So that was the main turning point of it all.
Curious to know just like who was your closest ally out there?
I would have to say Amy for sure. Amy, once Miranda was gone, it was me and Amy just by ourselves in a tent for a long time. And we would just hang out, chill, laugh, talk about life beyond the game, you know? So it was just definitely Amy, and I consider her still to this day one of my close friends and one of the most trustworthy people I could have had by my side.
You made some comments on the show where you were not the most thrilled with playing with Rob at every turn of the game, just in terms of you seem like he tries to control everything that you want to do. Was that really the most frustrating thing? Was he, how did he try to control everybody?
He is just Boston Rob. So like before the game, I didn't know who he was, but now like I'm watching it, I'm like, this guy is amazing. You know, I really have no bad things to say about the guy. He's a great guy. I was hanging out with him the whole entire time on the island. We were always having fun, you know, laughing. But just to see how he gets people to line themselves up for him, and he just does it with like, you know, with his charm, the way he speaks. And he got Claudia to take a fall for him. He got, you know, he had Aaron just as his number one soldier. So it was like crazy. And Alyssa throwing this whole thing for him. It was crazy how he always just – somehow, some way, either controlled it, was always safe probably every other challenge. it was just, it was poetry in motion. Now looking back at it, but when you're there, you're like, oh my God, this guy again, this guy again, this guy again. Like, come on, when is it going to be me? You know? And so that's the point where it gets a little frustrating, but like he's been doing this forever and then he's mastered it.
Let me get your take on the Stephanie and Alyssa confrontation from a couple weeks back.
Oof. Well, you know, I was team Steph on that all the way. You know, a lot of us, we're not, you know, we have different point of views about each other. We, you know, some of us don't speak anymore. We don't really speak. I haven't spoke with Alyssa in a long time. You know, I speak to Steph here and there. I speak to the rest of the people here and there, if not every day. You know, I thought it was, you know, rightfully so. Alyssa started a whole confrontation with Steph when Joe asked her, what does she think? She said she doesn't care. She's not paying attention. And then Steph just, you know, broke her down with her words and the way she carries herself, you know. So it was very emphatic. It was a wow moment for sure. It was what TV needed, maybe, I think. You know, I think the people loved it. And honestly, being there first row, me and Amy definitely loved it. So it was a good moment for us. As the Night Owls as well. So it was a good thing for the Alliance.
Nick, we're about to wrap up here. Last thing I want to know, can you tell me about the confrontation last night between Rob and Steph? What happened there?
That honestly just sucked for me because, like Aaron said, he's like, dude, this is not fair to Nick. And in the moment, like, it just takes all the air out of the room. It takes all the energy away from me. You know, I kind of lost my mojo, you know, like going, I'm, you know, me, I'm just like up, happy, exciting. And then they're just arguing. And I'm just like, come on right now, dude. Like, I get it. It is what it is. You guys got to get it out. But this is my time, man. Let me have some fun. Let me have fun with it. Enough of this for at least like 20 minutes, please. You know, but it is what it is. It happened and you got to roll with it.
What started it?
It was when I think Rob asked like if I was playing on, and I was like, yes, I'm hearing my name coming out from so and so. And then I think Steph murmured something on her breath, like, and then Rob says, What'd you say? And then there's this whole thing. She's like, I don't think you were trustworthy with Nick. And then who's trustworthy with Nick? And I'm like, damn, these guys are fighting over me. I'm like, I don't want this fight over me. I am taken. Enough. Let's end this. You know, let me play against the bank. It's nerve-wracking enough. I got to deal with you. But I think that's what started the whole thing.
Nick, thank you so much for your time today. Would you like to plug your social media or promote anything while you're here?
Yeah, thank you, Jack, for having me. You know, follow me on Instagram, Nicky G, NickyY _G. Other socials, you can find the links through the Instagram. It's a little off with a letter or two. I'm going to be dropping a little website coming soon. People are asking me about like the workouts, how I got in shape for the show. I got the big wick Nick candles coming and all that. I got the cardboard cutouts. Did I show you the cardboard cutouts? Did
you see it? No, you got it. Go show us.
Jack, come on. So I bought this cutout for my fiance when I was leaving for the show. You know, I didn't want her to be home alone. So I got her to cut out of myself. You know, people are reacting well to it. You know, it's fun. You know, I like to have fun. You know me, I'm very uppity. I don't like to be, you know, bland, boring. I want people to enjoy themselves always. I like to enjoy myself. So dropping the website soon, be on the lookout on the Instagram. I'll post it soon. And just to everybody who was supporting me throughout the way, thank you so much. And I really appreciate all the kind words and everything you guys gave me, especially you, Jack.
Thank you so much for your time today, pal.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right. Well, that concludes our conversation with Nick. A lot of interesting stuff. He did a very, very good job in that exit interview. I was able to ask him far more questions than I thought I would. He was rapid fire, very concise. Great job, Nick. And look forward to hopefully speaking with him again sometime on this show. Maybe we'll get him on with Miranda, depending on the week and the episode. But we've got a lot coming up here. So you will not want to miss our edition of Deal or No Deal Island Insiders this week with Miranda and Amy. Actually, next week, we have a special guest joining us on the recap. It's Mr. Karsten Bergerson from Love Island Season 5 and from the most recent season of The Traitors. Bergie's a big fan of Deal or No Deal Island, so it's going to be fun to get his thoughts on everything from the show. You guys can make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out on that. It's Jack Vita Show here on YouTube. Also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcasts are found. Follow me on social media at Jack Vita Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And until next time, I'm Jack Vita. Bring in the dance and lobsters.